West Virginia University School of Public Health continued a series of monthly public health dialogues last week with a talk, The Social Determinants of Health. It's time to consider the causes of the causes. Guest speaker Paula Braveman spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting about how social factors in our lives can play a role in our health. Dr. Paula Braveman is the director of the Center of Social Disparities and Health at the University of California in San Francisco. For over 25 years, she's been studying how social factors affect human health.
Well, we're in a very different place talking about the social determinants of health than we were 10 years ago, 23 years ago even.
Braveman says progress in science and our growing understanding of how the human body works is making it easier to gain insights into the biological effects of environmental factors like income and social status.
That's a huge leap to be able to say not just we think that this is the way things work, but we can trace out the pathways and the biology of it. What we've learned about the physiology of stress is so important for understanding the social determinants of health.
Braveman knows a lot about stress. She points out that some kinds of stress actually promote health, the kind of stress we feel when we are challenged. But when we know overcoming the challenge is within our reach, that stress, Braveman says, is good for us. Then there's toxic stress.
If we have experiences that are stressful, it registers in one part of our brain, and that part of the brain signals another part of the brain, and that sets in motion a whole cascade of other physiologic events, which, if they go on and on chronically, lead to premature aging and to chronic disease in an adulthood, diabetes and heart disease.
All common health disparities in West Virginia. Braveman explains that chronic toxic stress is the kind you experience when your child gets sick and your thankless minimum wage job gives you no leeway to be able to stay at home to be with that child, and your car is out of inspection and in need of new tires, and your laid-off husband has a drinking problem. Braveman explains it's when those kinds of challenges are routine that you're at the most risk. You're more predisposed to certain long-term illnesses. The constant anxiety deregulates your body, including the immune system, so you just get sick more often. Obviously, no one has come up with any quick fix to solving these kinds of scenarios, or an easy way to interrupt the cycles of poverty that are often the side effect. But Braveman says there are steps that can be taken.
Minimum wage laws, you know, higher minimum wage and other kinds of supports so that the woman who was without resources would have some resources. But another way to deal with it would also be if they were in a setting in which childcare was basically provided to everybody, because it was considered an investment that everybody had in the future of the society.
Braveman says building resiliency to rise above chaos in our communities takes concerted and organized efforts on the part of both individuals and policymakers alike. Access to good nutrition, education, community, and transportation are all factors that play a role just as much as having access to good jobs and clean water and air. And as for individuals, Braveman says support groups are important. People need to know that they aren't struggling alone so that they can cope better. Dr. Braveman's was the third in a series of public health dialogues being hosted at West Virginia University. The final talk this year is December 5th. It's about a community-based drug overdose prevention program. The talk is free and open to the public. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.